Blog Talk Radio.
March 9th, 2024. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. You have now entered the Blog Talk Radio zone. Get ready to take off because we've got a lesson for you today. This is the third month, March 2024. We're looking for a great move of God in this year. Wait for it, because we're going to have what God said we could have. Of course, I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We thank God for our co-host who gave us an outstanding lesson on last week, none other than Evangelist Terry Rogers. Keep her in your prayers. We thank God for her. And certainly we have an outstanding topic today. Praise God. But before we get into it, we're going to get into it. We have our announcements. And, you know, I move fast through the announcements because I feel like this. We need your support. We need your help. Those of you that have been supporting us in the past, we need your help again. This is a new year. Please reach out to us. You can make all checks payable to Amazing Grace Ministries. If you want to Zelle me or you want to cash at me, then give me a call at 309-750-7584. You can send those checks to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Certainly, I decree a blessing to each and every one out there in radio land that's listening to this lesson. Text me. Let me know how you feel about these lessons, whether they're relevant or not. I need you to text myself or my co-host, Evangelist Rogers. And certainly, we are on the air every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And if you want that link, you can text me and I will give you a link. If you want to listen to this show later, I will give you the link. Because all of my shows, whether myself or Evangelist Rogers, all of them can be heard later. So if you didn't get up in the morning and get us live, you can hear us later after you have gotten up. Well, let's get into our lesson. Believers are called to set the example for this dying world. We are lighting the way to Christ. But what if we have lost our favor or flavor? Then what? What is the state of our union when it comes to winning this world for Christ? We have a word on today that will captivate your mind. It will illuminate your heart to lift you to a greater level in our Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to greater peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus Christ. We are going to receive the miraculous in every area of our lives in 2024. We are looking for God to perform signs, wonders, and miracles as we continue to live daily and share our faith with others. The theme for this month of March 2024 is pressing onward in faith for the miraculous. Pressing onward in faith for the miraculous. Want a circle? We got to have faith. We got to. And the lesson for this second lesson in March is, wait for it, the state of our union. Let's go to the word. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, the things that have been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3 and 15. That which has been is now. And that which is to be has already been. God requires that which is past. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trampled under the feet of men. Ye are the light of the world. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Excuse me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now I'm gonna give you a warning. I may not get happy on today because there's some things that I want to discuss and to talk about on this lesson. So it's a little change from what I probably would normally do, but this needs to be discussed because we need to understand where we are in this world. So I want to define the purpose of the State of the Union. As we know that on Thursday, our channels were taken over by our president's yearly address called the State of the Union. So what is this really? What is the State of the Union? What did he deliver on Thursday? Well, the State of the Union has some constitutional purposes. One, it's a constitution requirement because it is important for Congress and the president to give the people information about what's going on in our world. Communication with Congress and the nation. And every president in the United States has given this address. Matter of fact, the first State of the Union address goes back to George Washington, and that date was January the 8th, 1790. It changed formats, it changed its name, and literally became the State of the Union by Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1934. Now, it serves a purpose, y'all, and it serves as a platform to communicate national policies and legislative goals to both Congress and the American people. In summary, the State of the Union address is a critical moment when the president of the United States, which we're in, to the nation, what's going on, our conditions, his shared achievements, what he's done as sitting on the top as the president, and he sets the goals for future policies and events and legislation. So let's look at our current, what happened on Thursday, and stay with me because this tends to be a little boring, but it needs to be said on this platform. What happened Thursday? Our President Joe Biden, got up and gave the State of the Union address. He talked about his character. He talked about the fact that he is 81 years old, but he's matured with age. And we know that when we look at our seniors in Christianity, when you grow in grace and in the knowledge, you grow. And certainly we can look at Moses, who did his ministry even in his 80s. He listed the policies and the agendas. Mm-hmm. He disclosed details and referenced unfinished business that he did in his first term, and he advocated for military assistance to the various countries that are under attack. Mm-hmm. And we know what's going on in Gaza, but we know what's going on in Ukraine. And all of these things affect the American people, affect us, and there is a stand that as Christians we need to have. So the State of the Union is not only a constitutional requirement, but it also gives details. It talks about where we have come and where we're going. In history, when we look at history, and that brings me down to history. History repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Every event is similar or pattern tends to reoccur in time. Well, let's look at the Bible. Mm-hmm. We know that a pattern of disobedience occurred with the nation of Israel. We know, and we've seen from beginning to Jesus' time, that when God told Abraham back in Genesis that he was going to deliver or create in him a nation. And he told Abraham that once you look up to the sky, when you are not going to, the stars, when you look at the stars, you're not even going to, your nation, that's just how many are going to be contribute to you. And I'm paraphrasing it, y'all. But in essence, he did become, his descendants became a nation, and a nation that we call Israel, a nation that also we can call Iraq, not Iraq, but the Muslim community as well because of Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promise, right? So in essence, we can look all the way down. We can come all the way down to Joshua. We come down to Moses, who delivered the children of Israel. And once he delivered the children of Israel, God said, I'm going to give you a promised land where you don't have to pay for it. And we know through the Bible that, of course, the spies went over. And the spies said, yeah, this is good land. And 10 said, no, you can't. And God said, forget it. Y'all, older generation is not going to see it because you're a stiff-necked people. And that's in the word. You're a stiff-necked people, and I'm not going to allow you to see the land. We should have. We can deduct from that experience that that would be a pattern of Israel's behavior throughout the entire Bible. And we know they went into the promised land. They conquered the land. And as soon as they conquered the land, then they started to sin and deal with other gods. And once they sinned, what happened? God allowed other nations to conquer them, other nations to defeat them. And certainly we have the Assyrians who came. We have the Babylonians who came. We have the Persians who came. And finally, there's nothing new under the sun. Finally, we have the Roman Empire that came. Hallelujah. And this Roman Empire would be so cruel to the Christians, and it was there in Jesus' time, with Herod, and first of all saying, I'm going to kill all the babies because there's one that has been predicted that's going to be the king. And, of course, he was talking about Jesus, and Jesus came, died on the cross. And after the Holy Ghost fell, that meant that the Christians, the church was developed. Church age began. And once the church age began, then we had an assignment to share the gospel with the world. And in doing so, back in that time, many Christians gave up their lives in the efforts to share the gospel. And we can go to the Bible and we can see the example of Stephen. And I'm going someplace, y'all. Give me just a minute. You can see the example of Stephen, who looked to the hills from which cometh his help, as he was stoned to death because he was glorifying God. There are other Christians that were put in what the arena, as the Roman government would call it, and were attacked by lions, or they just were killed unmercifully because of their stand to love the Lord and to share this gospel to a dying world. What is our response today as we listen to the State of the Union address? Do we have a position, or do we just say, I'm not to address that? Say that, then I'm going to advise you to get in the game, because we have a position and we have a stand to stand and represent this gospel to this dying world. I told you I might not like this lesson. Now, there are six things that I want you to consider. One, first of all, is prayer and reflection. We are to pray because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for our national leaders. We are not only to just pray for one another and our pastors, but our mayor, our statesmen, those in Congress, those that are writing down the laws. Because laws are made in closed doors, but they have a manifestation out of those closed doors. We are to apply biblical values and principles to political speeches and to analyze those speeches with the Bible and to look at whether or not the political agenda will deal with our values, our Christian or our Christian values as believers for promoting or dealing and caring with the poor and promoting peace and seeking justice. We are to be stewards and responsible as well doers and knowing what's going on in our society and our environment and make sure that it does the most good. The state of address allows us as Christians to consider how government action affects the broader community. And yes, government action affects our community. It affects whether we're able to buy houses. It affects whether or not we're able as seniors to get groceries or even to get medication and be able to get that medication freely. Yes, it affects us, and therefore we have got to be in tune about what's going on. We are not to be found sleeping in this last and evil day, but we are to stand and speak truth to policy, speak truth to the issues that affect us that Satan has infiltrated and trying to manipulate. We have to have a civil and respect to their political affiliations, but we are encouraged to speak up, to treat others with respect and love. We still respect them. We still operate in love, but that love is seasoned with God, with wisdom and vigor, because we know that Christ is love and we attitude of love, but we know that we have the Holy Ghost that will do for us, that will go before us and fight our battles. We are to provide critical analysis. We are to address it and evaluate it and see what the tone is. And then we are advocates and we are to take action. And that action is taken through prayer, to volunteering, to sometimes maybe political encouragement, but we are to seek a positive impact on our society. Okay, all right. Let's get to my point. Is Matthew. Thank God for each and every one that have tuned in. Matthew 5, 13 through 15 states. And we've read it. But Jesus, let's evaluate that and sum it up because I'm just about through. Jesus impacts essential teachings to his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount. And this is considered the Sermon of the Mount. This is this long sermon. He was sitting on the hill and he preached about it. And this is just one of the things he talked about. And the Sermon of the Mount is so crucial, and I pray you go back and read the whole chapter because there's so much in that chapter. But Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 talks about the salt of the earth. And Jesus says to his followers, you are the salt of the earth. In ancient times, salt served several purposes. It was a preserver. Before refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food by rubbing it into the meat. Similarly, believers scattered across the world helped preserve humanity from godlessness, immorality, chaos, and judgment. And even if we look at salt today, there are many different types of salt. And, of course, go back in our blogs, we have talked about salt, the types and the purposes, the finer, the harder, but all done to taste and to bring out the taste in food. Just a little salt goes a long ways. If you don't have salt on something, you know it does not taste right at all. But salt it to season, and we have different types of seasonings that apply and have salt in there. But once we use salt, we know that we've got the right flavor. We've got the right touch. And even when it comes to cakes and pies and flour and putting the base in those pies, we have to have just a little touch of salt. It is a flavor enhancer. Enhances, and I said that, and enhances, and that's what I'm talking about, y'all. It enhances the taste of food. Godly people can positively enhance culture and change its flavor. So in essence, when we're talking about the state of address, when we talk about the scriptures, when we're talking about our ability to speak truth to power, we have that ability to do. Called to be salt emphasizes our role in preserving and flavoring the world through godly living. And when we look at verses 14 through 15, the light of the world, Jesus continues, you are the light of the world. Light dispels darkness, it reveals truth, and guides the way. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we are called to illuminate our lives and let them shine with love, compassion, and truth, revealing God's character. We stand for truth. We stand for the truth. We stand for it. Mm-hmm. It guides like a city on a hill. We guide others towards righteousness and hope. Mm-hmm. Our good works is done in obedience to God and serves as a beacon of light, drawing people to Him. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 emphasizes the impact that we as believers are meant to have on this world. We are called to preserve. We are called to flavor, illuminate, and guide a nation that matters greatly. It is our State of the Union address to the world. It is our State of the Union address to this world. We are called to stand. We are called to emphasize that Christ is the answer, and we must recognize that there are false teachers out there, but we must stand for the truth. Now, in Ecclesiastes 1:9, the author reflects on the critical nature or the cynical nature of life and its existence. It's like the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. History repeats itself. Repetition and continuality is observed in this verse. Everything that has happened will happen again. The same patterns, events, and experiences shall occur. Like our seasons follow their established cycles. Summer, winter, heat and cold, rain and drought, seed time and harvest. The natural rhythm persists without deviation. And of course, if daylight savings time come March the 10th, which means we put them, move those clocks forward, and we lose an hour. Mm-hmm. There is no true novelty. There is nothing new under the sun. Emphasizes the true novelty is rare. Despite humans' progress, in spite AI, in spite of all the interventions we have, in spite the fundamental aspect of our existence that remains, all that's going on, there is nothing new under the sun. And history repeats itself. They may be hidden. Discoveries may have existed before. Things may be hidden, but nothing is new. There may have been an ignorance to those new things, but now there is awareness. But history repeats itself. Now, there may be an exception that contains miracles, divine intervention. But the only exception is divine intervention. And we have that in the Immaculate, or the birth of Christ, the Immaculate Conception of Christ, the fact that he died on the cross. Those things will never happen again. There will never be another Jesus born, because he has come, he has arrived, and that is the only exception that we have in history. But false teachers will tell you, just like we talked about last week, how can Jesus be totally human and totally divine? That is not the case. But we know better, because Christ came. Not only did he come, he died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit came down and visited us on the day of Pentecost. Now, those events are exceptions, but other than that, the scripture Ecclesiastes 1 and 19 tells us, or recognizes, that the enduring patterns of life appreciates the familiar, and humbly acknowledge that our interventions go what has gone before. So in conclusion, for the Christian or the believer, we are the salt of the earth, and to lose his or her degree of saltness would be a problem. The gospel would be diluted in our lives. The Bible says we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to find ourselves in the house of God. We are to find ourselves under leadership that teaches the word of God. I told y'all probably wasn't going to like this. We have to arm ourselves accordingly. This is the complacency of us, the person who does not protect the truth of the gospel in the life, in our lives, from Satan's deceit and attack. The believer must be sober, vigilant, and know the adversary, the devil, because there are false teachers that Paul talks about in his day. They have doubled in size today. You go on the internet, there are people that say that fornication is not a sin and that it's not mentioned in the Bible. Well, you a lie, because if you go over in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it talks about the things that you should do. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, there's no S on fruit, thank you, Lord. When you talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, It tells you before you get to the fruit of the Spirit what you should not do. And lasciviousness, immorality, sexual immorality. So when you talk about, there is no scriptures found in the Bible that mention that you are not to have sex outside of the marriage bed is a lie. But then you say that adultery is a sin if you married and have sex with somebody else? Come on now. This is the teaching that we have on the internet. Not only is there teachings like that on the internet, there are so many false teachings that's going out there. There's so much that Satan is trying to get the church or not to see or not to stand for. But when we talk about 1 Peter, when we read 1 Peter, 5 verses 8 through 9, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whether you saved or not, whom resisted steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what that scripture is saying, that just like you go through stuff as a Christian, they go through it too. But the thing that we can fall back on is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I may not have it right now, but as our topic, as our subject says, we are going to have the miraculous in 2024. I may have to go through some things. But God says that I am more than a conqueror in Romans. We talk about the scriptures. The scriptures state that greater works will be they do it because the Comforter has come, and that sums up in the verse 5 and 16 that I read. Let your light so shine before men that you may see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we know that because we are the light of the world, so we shine so that the world can see Christ and glorify him. We act with God's attributes of love. We walk in his attributes. We walk in love for one another. We don't walk in hatred. We understand that they're confused. We understand that those that are in an alternate lifestyle are in that lifestyle, and God has not ordained that lifestyle. But there's so many lifestyles that God has not ordained that people are walking in. There's so much hate. There's so much hatred in this world. There's a group that's, and there are Christian groups, of so-called Christian groups, and that's why I try to distinguish between believer and Christian, because there's so many Christian, so-called Christian groups that spewed hatred and white supremacy. They talk about the rights and taking rights of a woman away from them. But you talk about killing innocent blood, but you kill innocent blood every day with murder and killing people just because of the color of their skin. That is equal to God in terms of murder and violence. God has never ordained that, nor does he condone it. Ephesians 6, verses 11, 12, and I am going to wrap up with 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then Ephesians 6 and 14 reads, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth is the central theme in the Bible. It carries profound significance.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says that in John 14 and 6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father except through me. He identifies as the embodiment of truth, emphasizes the exclusive, and I want to read that, highlight it, underline it, put it in your cap, whatever you want to do, the exclusive path to God. Truth, in summary, truth is the fundamental, is fundamental in our relationship with God and our interaction with others. So in essence, we are called to stand, but we are called to be aware of what's going on in our society. Let us not fall asleep. Let us be politically astute. If we didn't watch the State of the Union address, get notes on it. My friend so often tells me, you got to watch the news. And every now and then I watch the news, get highlights from it, because I need to know as a Christian what is going on in my society. I need to know because, in essence, I am called to be a part of my community, and I am called to address, to speak truth to power, and to know that nothing new happens under the sun, and therefore I must be vigilant in my prayer life, vigilant in my study to know what the word says, and vigilant in finding myself in the storehouse or in the church house to know and put on the armor that I may be able to stand in the world that I'm currently living in, because it is getting worse. When you have a political party that stands on lies and not the truth, and those lies can be factually documented, then we need to pray like ever before, saints. We need to pray, God, intervene and save this world from their sins, because the ultimate issue is sin. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We adore you, we magnify you, and we thank you for the word that has been given on today. We pray, God, that you'll continue to bless it, sanctify it, and allow it to go all over the world. Father God, we pray for those that don't know you and the pardon of their sins. We pray for our family members that are not saved. We pray for those that have gotten hold to mistruths and believe that Jesus is a prophet. We pray, God, for the State of the Union. We pray for our presidents, our vice president. We pray for every government official, God, you know, God. We pray for those foreign states or foreign nations that are currently finding themselves in war and in poverty. And we pray for those people right now, God, that you'll give solutions, that you'll give solutions to their problems, that you'll come in, God, and deliver and set them free. We thank you for our co-host, God, wherever she may be. We pray her strength, and we pray, God, that you'll continue to bless this vlog and this ministry, God. You know, Father God, bless our pastors, God, bless this word, that it may go out and never come back void. But you said that's what it would do, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless. Certainly you'll be hearing from my co-host on next week. Be blessed. Talk to you soon. Bye.